Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
This is Conrad Thompson from What Happened When Monday with Tony Schiavone and Something to Wrestle with Bruce Prichard, and you're listening to the Two Man Band Podcast on ChairShot Radio and 12 Ounce Sports Network.
Everybody to the 2MB Sports and Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host, Big Rick. We want to thank you for tuning in, however you may be listening, whether it's 12 Ounce Sports Radio Network, whether it's TheChairShot.com, iTunes, CastBox app. Thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. The numbers are doing great. We greatly appreciate it. What's on tap for today? I don't know. Wisconsin safety, Natrell Jamerson, is going to be on the show. Talk all things NFL draft. What is he doing to prepare for the NFL? We're going to try to get his personality out a little bit. Try to talk some non-football things. B-Merch is coming up. B-Merch is triggered, y'all. He is PO'd, and he's going to tell you why. We're also going to play the worst national anthem, the worst sung national anthem in sporting events. Roseanne, R. Kelly, Cuba Gooding Sr., Carl Lewis. We got some good ones for you. Want to thank our sponsor, FanDuel, weekly fantasy sports, not just football, baseball, golf, NASCAR. Promo code SBFFC, as in Southern Bluegrass Fantasy Football Championship. SBFFC, enter the promo code. Enter for a chance to win $25 in credit. Again, thank you for listening. Natrell Jamerson will be on the show later. Wisconsin safety, NFL prospect. We're going to get him on, talk some football, talk non-football. We're going to have some fun, get his personality out. NFL scouts do listen to the show. That's why we have him on. Again, thank you for listening. I'm going to hit the pause button, get B-Merch on Skype, get Brad on Skype. We're going to get the show rolling.
Five-man front showing pressure again. Not making any bones about it. Here they come. Six, and it's intercepted. Natrell Jamerson turns the corner. Stays in bounds, inside the pylon. That's a Wisconsin touchdown, a pick six for Natrell Jamerson.
Now a chance for Wisconsin to get a little bit of a field position, and they just might do that. Down the sideline, Jamerson, did he step out? Apparently not, and he's going to go! Wisconsin all the way downfield. Natrell Jamerson, 98 yards.
He's got some physical talent.
Oh, ball came out. Ball loose.
Get on it. They
ball
blown
to the sideline. That's picked up by Wisconsin. That's picked up by Natrell Jamerson. And he's going to go with Alec James, his teammate, right behind him all the way into the end zone.
Pressure, fires right side, and that's intercepted by Natrell Jamerson. Tight pocket, hit as he throws, picked off by Jamerson. Touchdown, Wisconsin! Natrell Jamerson with the pick six.
Well, you got to think. So two of the kids are from...
Keep it clean, guys.
Louisiana, so...
Keep it clean, guys.
So what Will Wade is doing is Will Wade's just going to start controlling the state of Louisiana because they put out some fairly decent athletes year after year. They just all end up somewhere else.
I just wish they'd hurry up and come out with that FBI report. I want to know the amount of schools and what schools that they are that are going to get hit with the hammer on that.
Did Louisville get punished without the report coming out?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they took their I saw that, national title away.
But I'm saying no report officially has come out before NCAA put this down?
That doesn't have anything to do with that report yet. That was all based upon the escort scandal that they had with Rick Pitino. They just finished that investigation and decided that they were going to pull the national title on that investigation alone. So now you got this FBI investigation about all the, the money laundering into paying off kids through shoe contracts and stuff like that. That's the biggie that everybody's waiting on right now. Like Bruce Pearl, he's going to be the guy that's going to wind up getting axed down there to Auburn because everybody believes he was tied into that somehow or another.
What's the deal with Oklahoma, man? They're falling apart slowly.
Hey, can't play defense.
Well, you take out their best player, and that's it.
Yeah, this time of year, they don't play defense whatsoever. I mean, they're just getting hosed at the moment. Trey Young's points per game, I think, has come down dramatically over like the last month.
They're putting the defense on them. They're double teaming for the most part, as they should.
That's what they're going to have to do.
It's been a crazy year, man. Every time you turn around, one of the top three or five teams are going down.
Oh, it's parity all over the place right now. It's going to be ridiculous trying to pick the brackets this year.
This may be the one year Duke can actually win it.
I'm going LSU all the way through.
Oh, my gosh.
I'll pick LSU in my free bracket just to say, hey, I supported my team. So I put my money where my mouth is.
Are we going to do a March Madness preview? I know we were supposed to do one last year, but we totally botched on that.
Shit, man, let's fill out our brackets. We can do it real quick. Fill out our brackets.
Yeah. Fill out the bracket on air, technically.
Good. We'll do that. That'll be a show.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's a show.
That'll take a long time.
Obligations. I have to fill at least an hour and 10. So, there you go.
I mean, you can have most of it already filled out, and then kind of hit and miss on a lot of it. And yeah, I mean, you're going to talk mostly about that first weekend, and as you skip through and get to the semifinals and finals.
All right, guys, then we're back. Natrell Jamerson, safety from Wisconsin, is joining us. Natrell, thank you very much for taking time, I'm sure, out of your busy schedule right now to come on our show, man.
Thanks for having me.
And, of course, we're joined by Brandon and Brad as well. So let's get things started. Natrell, first off, congrats on your defensive MVP award on the Shrine East-West game. I didn't know if you knew, but you were the second safety out of 3 years to grab that award that came from Wisconsin.
Yep. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, so 2016, Mike Caputo got it. He is now a defensive assistant for LSU football. So what is it about that position defensively that Wisconsin focuses on? Do you think it's anything specific, or do you think y'all just are grabbing talent left and right around the country for that defensive side?
We're always talented. But, I think especially our safeties. We're smart players as well. Not just athletic wise, but just taking the knowledge and intelligence and applying it on the field.
From that experience of that East-West game, I thought, and Brandon mentioned this as well in the open, we think that brought your draft status up a little bit just because of your performance you had. And so what experience did you take from that? Were you mainly focused on having fun and just doing your thing, or did you go in there with the mindset, I have to do good, this has to be my best performance?
I mean, of course I want to have fun. It was like an all-star game and an extra chance to play a college game, so – of course, I wanted to have fun with it, but at the same time, I had my mindset on things that I really wanted to focus on getting better at. So, every day in practice, I was applying those things that I knew that I wanted to get better at. And, in the game, it shows. So, it was fun, but it was business as well.
Hey, King and Trell, this is Brad. So I know, obviously, you're at the point where we got the combine coming up in the next couple of weeks. Actually, I think it's next week. So I see a lot of guys that go out of, they're either out towards California or Florida. Even some go out into Texas to some of these big guys that really focus on getting guys prepped for that combine. Where are you at in that process right now?
I'm going back and forth down to Tampa, training at ASPI. And I just got back from down there this past Sunday, and I'm going back down tomorrow for a few days. So I'm going back and forth from here in Madison to down there in San Francisco training.
You got any other the guys that you know are down there with you training?
Not really. You know, I got kind of cool with guys that's already trained down there, but nobody from my school or that I know personally.
Hey, Natrell, Brandon here. Hey, we kind of brought up the fact of how you performed in that East-West Shrine game. Do you think it's a valuable lesson that you kind of learned in the process of training for that game? It kind of goes out to show scouts and front office executives in the NFL that you can adapt to new schemes and new defensive situations by going in like an all-star game like that, where the game plan's a little bit different than what you see at Wisconsin, and you have to change up in your preparation for a game. Do you think that's you see that as being a big plus for you moving forward, how you were able to adapt in that game?
Yeah, you know, just that whole week of prep, you know, the coach tried to keep it simple for us, but, you know, still applying the next level techniques into our to the game plan and things like that. So, you know, with the week of prep, it wasn't too bad. So, and then, I mean, I know it's probably just me that I'm able to just adapt to new things. And, you know, I can hear it once or twice, and I'm going to do it right there on the field. So, I feel like showing my ability to adapt down there at the East-West game was a big plus, because I played safety and a little bit of nickel in the practice. So, and I'll just try and show them that I can do it all.
Let's go back to your senior year in high school, man. You were recruited as a 3-star wide receiver. You get recruited by Wisconsin. So a couple questions in this form. Let's start with this. You're in Florida. You're in Ocala. You have Florida State. You have UCF. You have all these universities, D1 and D2, in Florida. Were you recruited at all or approached by any of these colleges down in Florida?
Yes, I got offered by FIU, mm-hmm. And then getting looked at about the other small schools, but the schools like UF, FSU, and Miami, you know, they're in contact, but they never threw the offer out. So yeah, that's how that happened.
Okay, so what was it about Wisconsin? Because I mean, you're from the South, different environment, different climate, but you end up in Wisconsin. I noticed your Twitter has the area code from Ocala with the airplane to the area code of Madison. What was it about Wisconsin that got your attention? I mean, from Florida to Wisconsin, normally guys in the South, and I'm sure you're fully aware of this, guys in the South tend to stay in the South for the most part. And if not, you know, they go a little bit west, a little mid. But you went to Wisconsin, man. Did anybody tell you about the winners?
Yeah, you know, when people find out that's where I committed to, you know, like, you know, why are you going way out there in the cold? It's freezing out there, things like that. So, I mean, and I knew how the weather would be. I knew it would be cold, but I knew I could get used to it, which I did. So, and I chose Wisconsin because when I came out to visit my senior year of high school, you know, it just felt like a home environment. You know, I hung out with the teammates in the dorms, and you know, we were just kicking it, just playing around as if we knew each other before. So, just them taking me in. When at the time I wasn't even committed yet. So, you know, just them showing love like that, that was a big plus for me too. And with the school in general, you know, it's a great school, great education. So getting my degree from the University of Wisconsin, you know, you can't beat that. So with all those things being in play, you know, I decided to come.
Well, two follow-ups to that. What degree did you get? What did you graduate in?
I actually graduated in May, sophomore in May. My major is human development and family studies.
Nice. One last question from me, then we'll get to Brad and Brandon. So that was a big plus for you, because there's a lot of tactics that go into recruiting, education, playing time, the athletic facilities. So do you, you're saying that you felt more at home when you went to visit Wisconsin, and that was one of your biggest things when looking for a university, was that home feeling.
Yeah. So, you know, growing up in the South, you know, we like to feel at home, you know, just like to be welcomed and be around homey people. So just that was me. I'm a laid back kind of guy, you know, so I can't be somewhere that I'm not really welcomed, or I just feel like an outsider. So it was all checked through with me. So I decided to come.
Yeah, well, that's a pretty cool thing, because you see a lot of kids that get drafted somewhere. I mean, not drafted, recruited, and then they decide to stay or go back after like their first year because it just, the fit wasn't right. They didn't feel good. You know, even they got recruited hard, but you're right, it just didn't feel like home. So that's pretty good that you chose that over everything. So my thought is, you probably don't know, but we're mostly SEC guys on this. Rick and I are LSU fans. We're originally from Louisiana. B-Merch is a UT fan. So, you know, in 2016, man, you played against LSU to get a couple kickoff returns. You know, I'm really curious. I mean, you always hear about the speed of the SEC. Is the speed of the SEC really different than the Big Ten? I mean, you played against both of them. What's the big difference in them?
And be honest here, Natrell.
I honestly don't see any difference. You know, of course I'm a fast guy, you know, from Florida, so I got that Florida speed. But I honestly can't tell you that I've been up against somebody that's just blazingly fast. Like, just going back to the sideline, like, oh my god, he's fast. I can't say that. Even from, well, when we play Alabama, it's kind of different, but the LSU.
Come on now.
I get
it. Don't give them that much confidence. They don't give them that much.
Nah, I mean, I say that because when we played against Alabama, what was that, my freshman, no, my sophomore year, you know, I didn't play on defense in that game. I just played on special teams, returning the kicks. And they're down the field pretty fast, so that's why I say that. But yeah, going back to LSU on Dayton, we played them. Nobody was really a speed threat like that.
Leonard Fournette was in that game, though. Did you play any receivers? You play any defense in that game?
Yeah, I had a couple tackles against Fournette. But he's a strong one. I'll give him that.
He was a grown man playing in college.
He
was like 4 years old playing against the 9-year-olds out there sometimes. He was a big dude. So, but I'm going to pass it off to B-Merch, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
Hey, Brandon, real quick, a follow-up to Brad's. What was it like? Because you play in Lambeau Field, such a historic stadium in the NFL, the history. What was it like to – because you hear these stories. You're driving through a neighborhood, and then all of a sudden this big stadium appears. What was the experience like in Lambeau Field as a college athlete? Playing in that stadium,
it was amazing. You know, even well, we've been to Lambeau Field before. You know, the spring of that year, we had our a spring scrimmage up there in Green Bay's indoor facility. So like around that time, they took us to Lambeau Field so we could walk around and see it and all that. But actually playing in it, it was surreal. You know, just on the bus going up to the game, you know, like you said, it's just a straight neighborhood, and all of a sudden it's this big stadium in the middle of it. So seeing all the people tailgating outside their homes and seeing everybody outside the stadium, walking to the stadium, cheering you on the buses. So, I mean, that was a great experience. Mm-hmm. And, you know, once the game got going, you know, it's pretty loud in there. You know, and especially after we won the game, everybody, Lambeau League, standing on the in the stands. So I mean, it was great. You know, if you ever see the pictures of us in the stands after the game, you know, we looked like we had the time of our lives. We really were.
By that time, While y'all were having the time of your lives, we were drinking our sorrows away because we just took an L.
We were calling for Les Miles' head after that game.
I'd say that's one thing I kind of wanted to touch on there, Natrell, was growing up in Florida, committing and going to play in Wisconsin, could kind of touch on the differences between the cultures of the fan bases, just on a football perspective. How do you feel, Southern SEC type fans are as compared to the Northern fans or the Big Ten fans up there? What would you say between the two different fan bases?
No, it was, just think about that, of course I've been to, because UF was right up the street, so I've been to a few of their games when I was in high school. So watching, seeing people there tailgate and their game atmosphere and everybody's all into the game, and compared to up here, it's probably the same or even better, everybody's till, we have a game at 11 in the morning. We were driving to the stadium and people out tailgating at 8 in the morning, just out having a good time before hours before the game even started early that morning. And even the fans, we have a few chants in the stadium that they say, it just playing. If you, I'm pretty sure that somebody told you guys before that playing the Karen Rondo is a great time, from just the regular fans to the student section. The student section, they're standing up the whole time. It could be a 20-degree game. These students in the stands with their shirts off just going crazy. So, I haven't been to a SEC game down any time recently, but just going off the games that I played in, I kind of say that at least our fans, we got a lot of schools beat.
Cool. And then jumping back into the preparation for the draft, of course, you got the scouting combine and everything next week. Based on projections right now, I know they've got you, you're looking at a kind of a late day three target as far as draft projection. Now, what you're only do when you're kind of showcasing skills in a combine type situation is you're always wanting to accentuate your positives. You want to hide your weaknesses. Are there certain areas that you're looking to really kind of hone in on and shine during this preparation process? And if so, what are those areas you feel like you can really kind of push forward for these scouts to see and improve your draft spot, draft stock even more?
Me honestly, I'm taking every drill that we do, I'm tightening things up, trying to get everything as tight and precise as I can, even from running the 40 to the L drill, the shuttle, even the position drills, I'm trying to, of course, get my times down lower than they are now and just look smooth and smooth, confident, and comfortable in doing the position drills. So, honestly, I really can't tell you one certain thing I'm trying to tighten up on, but I can tell you that I'm trying to tighten up on everything. So, when that time rolls around and the lights are on shining, I'm ready to go and open some eyes.
So, now your last actual timed 40, what was your last timed 40 at?
Yeah, so I ran it last week and I got a 4.4 flat.
Ooh, nice. Very, very nice.
We could use that speed on special teams in New Orleans, I'm just saying.
Hey, I'm all for it.
What are you trying to get down anymore? What would you like to run it at when you get there?
Yeah, I feel like I could run in the 4.3s, mid 4.3s around there. So, when the time comes, I'm open for miles.
That's them Florida boys, man. They got jets.
So, Rich Eisen runs a 40 every year from the NFL Network at the Combine. He ran a 6.2 last year. You don't think you'll have a problem competing with that guy, do you?
Oh, no, not at all. Not really about that at all.
I ran a 4.4, but it was like 4 minutes and 40 seconds.
Yeah, we're, like I said, we're from Louisiana. We like the food, man. We like to eat. So what has this experience been like? And let me kind of be more specific with that. First off, when LSU went and played Miami in the early 2000s at a Peach Bowl, you know, their experience was every player got a $500 gift card to Best Buy, and Chick-fil-A fed them all you can eat for the whole week that they were there. Now, I'm not asking you to go in specifics if you don't want to, but the Capital One Orange Bowl, you guys defeated Miami 34-24. Some would say it was an upset, but the way Miami was playing, I'm not surprised you guys won. Y'all were on a winning streak up until the Big Ten Championship. But what was your experience like down in Miami? You're returning home. It's your home state. Other than the payoffs from the bowl game, what is your experience like, man, when you're in that kind of atmosphere? You're under that spotlight. It is the Orange Bowl. Your game's going to be spotlighted. What was that week like
for you? Yeah. The whole week down there, you know, it was so much fun, you know, especially knowing that it's my last time, my teammates down there, you know, especially the seniors, you know, we made the best of it. You know, every opportunity we got to have some fun outside of football, you know, we took it. So, and even the events that that Orange Bowl put on for us, you know, we had a beach day, the day at Dave and Buster's.
Nice.
Texas D Brazil. Isn't that what it's called?
Wow. Yeah, Texas Day Brazil. Oh, yeah, you can eat meat.
Yeah, they took us there. So even those events that Orange Bowl put on for us, you know, they did a good job hosting us down there. And I can't speak for everybody else, but I know I took advantage of all of it. I soaked all that in. So yeah, the whole bowl game, it was a real good time.
So when you won the Orange Bowl, what do you get from that as an athlete? Do you get a ring with that bowl game? Do you get a plaque? What is it that you get compensated with when you win a bowl game like this?
Yeah, so we're getting rings. You know, the staff here at Wisconsin, they've been getting in touch with the seniors trying to figure out a design for the ring. And the design I picked out, you know, it looks smooth. So I'm just waiting for them to come in.
Well, when it comes in, go ahead and tweet that out, and don't forget to tag us, because we'd love to retweet that.
I got you. I got you.
Okay, man, y'all had an amazing run. as you was talking, man, I don't think y'all had you really didn't have a bad season in your 4 years there, did you?
Nah, because the only time I can say I had a not so good of a season was my junior year. I missed, seven games because I had broke my leg at the beginning of the season. It was right after the LSU game, the second game of the season. So, I mean, I guess I'll put that in the category as a bad season because I missed a few games. But other than that, you know, I feel like my overall career has been pretty good.
Yeah, man. Looks like you made it in the long run. Looks like you made the right choice. You got your degree. You finished up, you know, with only one loss your senior year. So, I mean, you know, congratulations to all that.
Thank you.
I'm assuming you broke your leg against Akron. Does that ring a bell?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, Akron in the fourth quarter.
Okay. I'm not saying you were the man, but while you were out, that's when they got their losses. So as soon as you came back, y'all went in a win streak all the way up into the Big Ten title. But so I'm not going to say you were the factor to those wins, but I mean, it's there.
Hey, you know, we got scouts that listen to us, man. You know, these NFL guys, they follow us all the time, so they want to be in it. Just so they know that, you know, they took them L's when you weren't there, so they got to keep that in mind.
Hey, that's how it was, and that's how it was. I can't speak on it.
Brandon, do you have any more follow-up questions before we get to some non-football talk?
No, let's go for the let's go to the non-football talk there.
All right, man. So if you want to elaborate as much as you want to elaborate on these, feel free to do it. We each have a few questions, non-football related, just so these people to know Natrell, not the football player, but the person, the guy from Florida. Favorite movie, man. What's your favorite movie? Or movies, if it's going to be too hard to break it down to one.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I like a lot of different kinds of movies. You know, of course, I like my action movies. I like some scary movies, not I'm terrified of demons. So like movies, like the scariest movie I've ever seen. It was called Devil, where they're all on the elevator. So I mean, like movies like that terrify me. So
anything with spirits.
I don't know. Yeah. Because all that type of stuff is terrifying. But I like action movies. I just recently went and saw Black Panther. You know, I love that movie. It was great.
Did it meet your expectations as far as a Marvel movie, the comic book?
Yeah, it actually did. You know, speaking of Marvel, you know, I like those movies as well. You know, any Marvel movie, they're pretty good to me, so I enjoy those. But yeah, it met my expectations. I don't think it came much short at all.
Well, before we get to Brad's non-football, since you're a Marvel fan, you got to be honest with me. What's better, Batman or Marvel? Not DC Comics. Batman or Marvel?
Nah. I say Marvel. Oh, Marvel man. Got Batman.
Gee, Brad, it's your turn.
Yeah.
It's your turn,
Rick has a Batman tattoo, but tells you the answer he was looking for.
Hey, Marvel got it.
It's hard to be Marvel, man. It is. It is.
So, Natrell, my question is, growing up in Miami, or I guess in Florida, you came up when the U was probably a real big time. So, you know, if you had to guess, who was your favorite player when you were growing up?
My favorite college player out of Miami?
Just NFL college player altogether, man. You know, who's your favorite player?
You know, growing up, especially playing Madden a lot, I used to love playing with Devin Hester. You know, get the ball in his hands, just about a guaranteed touchdown. Ed Reed, I like playing with him on defense.
That's right. You were a defensive guy on Madden, I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm.
Well, notice he named a safety and a return guy, so you know he's leaning.
Yeah, I mean, you know, playing the penalty of the games way back then, you know, it's a surreal thing because, you know, a part of me playing back then, just playing video games, you know, you always wish and dream of, you know, playing in the NFL and being on the football game. And now that reality is coming close, you know, just thinking about that, it's just surreal right now.
All right, Brandon, you got yours.
Okay. I was saying, okay, so you're about to go get into the league, hopefully getting drafted in the NFL draft. You're going to sign that first contract, get that first paycheck. You know, every pro, every kid coming out of college has kind of that same foresight. What's your first thing that you're going to do once you get that first paycheck from the NFL?
First purchase. I like it. Don't forget, Natrell, I was told your mom's going to be listening to this.
Yeah. I think my first check, I got to take my mom, my sister, my grandma, and my brother out to eat. You know, just a really nice restaurant on me. Just so I could, you know, just show them appreciation for the support that he been showing, like, my whole life, so. You know, that first check, you know, I got so love to them. You know, even though that might just be a small portion of the check, but that'd be the main thing I do my first check.
So we're gonna go on record here. They can put cheese on it, right?
They can do what they want.
So
my kind of another question I had real quick too, just kind of jump in there real fast. Favorite concert going experience. You know, I know we're about to get into, like, you know, as far as music time, things like that. You're gonna have a lot of concerts, a lot of festivals and stuff going on during the spring and summer. But for you, favorite concert going experience that you ever had?
Ah, that's tough too. I honestly haven't been to, like, an actual concert to see people perform. I think the only actual concert I've been to was in my senior year of high school when we did this thing called Grad Bash at Universal, where just all the seniors from different schools around the state or different states just go down to Universal for one night, and it was a concert there. But yeah, I haven't even really been to an actual concert, so next
next bucket list thing.
Bucket list.
Yeah.
I kind of want to go skydiving.
Woo!
Nice.
There you go.
I'll be terrified.
I'm right there with you on that one.
I want to try it.
When you make it, you come back and tell us how that was, because I won't be there.
No, I'll be on the plane with you.
All right, cool. Sound good.
Yeah, because I'm scared. Like myself, I'm scared of heights tremendously, but I've always wanted to go skydiving.
Yeah. I have a problem with planes and roller coaster stuff like that with heights, but just jumping out of a plane, like free falling.
That adrenaline rush. That's kind of
the way he said it. Yeah, he goes, not like a roller coaster, just, you know, jumping out of a plane.
That's okay. They have one in Baltimore, the indoor one. That's the one I'll go to.
Yeah, I want to try that. I think I'll try that first so I could, you know, get the feel for the wind and all that. But I still want to try one day.
Well, I'm sure your opportunity is coming for sure. So, growing up, man, other than football, what sport were you into the most?
I don't know if it's like considered a sport from other places, but my school, we did weightlifting competitions.
Okay.
So did that, and I ran track as well. So track and weightlifting, that's what I was doing outside of football.
Well, then let's build on that, man. Weightlifting, you got the combine coming up, 225 reps. What's your over and under, man? What's your personal goal? I'm not, you know, people say they want to do so much, they don't get to it. Some people exceed that. When you go to get on that bench, man, what is your, you know, I'm going to do this at least. What's your goal on that one?
The very least number that I'll do is probably 22.
Ooh.
Okay. Yeah. I'm gonna try to aim for like 30, because I can get 20. I can get 20 easy. That's really nothing. So I'm aiming for 30.
And what is your bench max right now?
Last time I maxed out on bench was 405.
What is your max on squats right now?
Last time I maxed on squat was 555.
Man.
And all these numbers was the summer before camp started.
Okay, so this was a while ago.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure those numbers are higher now.
Nice.
That's a small package with a big boom, man. You don't have to run into him in the open field.
No, I'm telling you. So, what was your favorite NFL team growing up? You're in Florida. That doesn't necessarily mean you were a Florida fan by any means, but growing up, what was your NFL team?
I had a liking for the Steelers. You know, I honestly don't know why, but if the Steelers are playing on TV, I'm watching their game all the time. So I guess I'll call myself a Steelers fan.
So if you have an opportunity, I don't want to go because I know we're going into the draft. And I know, you know, we don't want to pinpoint you. You'd just be happy to get on a team. But is there a team that sticks out more that you say, hey, you know what, I think I'd be a good fit in that system. I think I could do well on that team, or, you know, just any other one in general that you just like to be, or would you rather be in the black and gold?
I like the Saints too. You know, their defense, shut down. So, hey, the Saints call me, I'm answering the phone real quick. I'm going to love it. I'll be playing with them. I got an old high school teammate playing defense for his name, PJ Williams.
Yep.
So, yeah, that would be cool playing with him again.
I tell you,
that's okay, man. I'll make a call to Peyton right before the draft, let him know.
All right.
I wouldn't mind getting a Jamerson jersey with New Orleans, baby. I'll tell you that much. I got everybody else on the team.
That's right.
Brandon, any more?
I would say for me, another one real quick. Do you feel – I think going into the NFL, do you feel like you're going to have more of an immediate impact on the special team side of the ball, or are you really kind of hoping to make a name for yourself on the defensive side of the ball?
I see myself making a name for myself on both. You know, a lot of teams, you know, they see what I do on special teams. You know, not many starters coming out of college was, you know, playing on special teams a lot, and the fact that I was doing that, you know, consistently every game, you know, teams really like that. So, you know, whatever they want to see me doing special teams, I'm going to do that. Then, of course, playing on defense, that's another plus. So, long as I'm on the field helping out whatever team I'm on, you know, whatever they ask me to do, I'm all for it.
And you said you played a little bit of nickel package in the East-West Shrine game. Did you like more playing in that nickel package, or do you see yourself really kind of sticking to the safety position?
Yeah, so I kind of see myself playing like a nickel in the league. You know, I kind of got the body frame and speed and strength for a nickel. You know, got the speed to cover slot receivers and the strength to make open field tackles against running backs and things like that. So, you know, I mean, I can do it all, honestly. So, corner, nickel, safety, whatever they need, I got it.
There you go. I like that confidence too. That's gonna pay off big.
Yep. So I don't have any more questions for you, Trill. The only thing I want to tell you, man, is, you know, I'm an old dude. I've been around a long time. I tell you one, you know, keep grinding. Don't let everybody tell you can't do what you want to do. Keep pushing forward, and then be smart with your money, man. Invest it at a young age. So when you actually get out the league, you don't have to sit there and, you know, go get no job flipping burgers at McDonald's because you didn't put it in the right spot. So
yeah,
that's what
you're right.
And, you know, the best of luck to you, brother.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And one more thing for
me. Yeah, same goes for me, too.
Yeah. Yeah,
I was going to say, yeah, good luck to you moving forward, man. You know, hopefully they call your name on draft day, hopefully earlier than expected.
Yeah,
that's the thing. Yeah, like what Brad said, just, you know, put the work in, man. That's the biggest thing. That's a lot of these, you know, front office guys and coaches and stuff to look for, those guys that are willing to come in, not punch the clock, just get that paycheck, because guys that are going to come in, put the work in and contribute to the team. And as long as you're doing that, you should be successful.
I'm going to tell you, man, you already got a fan. I told him I got an 11-year-old son. I told him I was doing an interview with you, man. He's all excited. So you already got a little fan out there. So, you know, you got somebody rooting for you.
Hey, tell him I appreciate it.
So two things real quick. A buddy of mine that does another sports podcast, he lives in Madison, Wisconsin, and he asked me to ask you your favorite hangout spot. Now, I had to use that word very carefully. When I say hangout spot on State Street in Madison, what's your go-to place and why?
See, the thing about me, I don't even really go out to the bar that well. My
hangout spot. Yeah.
I don't go to the hangout spot that often. So, you know, I honestly don't have a favorite. You know, if I'm on State Street, I'm most likely getting something to eat. So, I mean, my favorite hangout spot got to be a restaurant. So.
What's your go-to fast food?
We got a place called Potbelly. It's like a sandwich place. It's like Subway, but it's way better than Subway. So I like Potbelly a lot.
Did they have a Raising Cane's down there?
What did you say?
A Raising Cane's.
I don't think it's here.
It's like Zaxby's, but 100 times better.
Yeah, no, we don't have one of those here.
So one more thing, man. If any scouts are listening, why you, Natrell? What is it about you? What can they expect from you? Why should they take a chance on you?
So, you know, I feel like teams out there should take a chance on me because, you know, I'm a outstanding athlete, but I'm an even better person outside of the football. You know, I care about people. You know, I like to give back to kids, you know, try to just put a smile on kids' faces and helping out the community and, you know, just try to give kids an opportunity that I may not have had. So, you know, I mean, just, I feel like as a person overall, you know, I'm not just defined by my athletic ability, you know, just, I'd like to help people out in any way I can, you know, even if it's just a regular conversation or helping them with a sport that they play, even if it's not football, it could be volleyball, you know, just helping kids out with stuff like that. So, you know, a team, they'll draft a great football player, but an even better person.
Well, like Brad said earlier, man, you're about to enter a world that that I don't think anybody is mentally ready for. Like Brad said, be smart with your money. Stay out of trouble, dude. I'm nobody to give you this advice. I'm podcasting from my kitchen, and I go to work at 4 in the morning. But you see it all the time. These guys enter the NFL, and like Brad, they don't use their money wisely. They get in trouble. Yeah, I can tell just by talking to you this little bit. You and the interviews I've watched on TV, you're a good dude, and I really think you're going to do okay. And like Brandon said, you put the work in, man. I don't see why your name shouldn't be popping up on my Red Zone channel every Sunday from here on out. I really don't. So first, congratulations from us. Best of luck to you. I will be watching you for sure come this draft in a couple months. And from myself, I wish you all the best of luck, man. I really do.
Awesome. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
I'm going to be keeping on for the combine, too. So, like I said, you seem like, got your head on your shoulder. Keep doing what you're doing, man. And, I think you'll do great things in life outside of football as well.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate it.
And I hope to see you in black and gold. That's New Orleans black and gold, not Pittsburgh black and gold.
I'm all for it.
All right, Natrell, thank you very much for taking time out of your schedule. I know you're really busy. We do appreciate it, and the best of luck to you.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me.
One, and we're back. Big thanks, big thumbs up to Natrell Jamerson. We were talking off air just now, guys. We think, you heard it yourself. The guy's a good dude. I think he's going to be just fine.
Yeah, not just in the NFL, but I think in life in general as well. Like, he seems to have it figured out. So, I'm rooting for the guy, obviously, right now.
Yeah, he did seem during the interview and even kind of off air a little bit as well. He's got a good head on his shoulders. I think he's definitely headed in the right direction, got the right mindset as he heads into the draft process.
Yeah, sorry, my mic was falling. So let's just run through some headlines that you hear about sports every day. Saints owner Tom Benson is in the hospital with the flu. Newsworthy or next topic?
Depends if you're a Saints fan.
I was going to say, next topic.
Eagles.
Isn't that, like, that's not the first time for him to be in the hospital either, so it's not like it's...
Shit,
new.
At one point we thought, legit.
He thought he was...
We thought his daughter
thought he was on the verge of death.
Well, we thought his granddaughter was trying to kill him to take over the organization. So he was like, I'm not crazy, as he's taking his clothes off in court. But whatever. Eagles wide receiver Alshon Jeffrey has surgery on torn rotator cuff. Brandon, we'll start with you. Will this impact – obviously this will impact him next season, but do you think for better or for worse?
No impact. I mean, it's a minor shoulder procedure. He's getting it at the right time, very early in the off season, so he's got plenty of time to – go through the rehab process. He'll be ready for OTAs more than likely. Probably might not do a whole lot of work during OTAs, but he'll be ready come training camp. And I don't see it having any setback or anything with him and his performance on the field next year. Their biggest thing is going to be who's going to be the quarterback of that team come week one of the 2018 season. Is it going to be Carson Wentz, fresh and healthy off his ACL injury, or is he still going to be rehabbing, not ready to go? Will they have Nick Foles under center, or will they deal Nick Foles? That's remained to be seen right now.
Well, let's go ahead and put a bet on this. Brandon, $5. Who's starting for the Eagles at quarterback week one, regular season?
For me, in the way that modern medicine is at this point in time, I would say Carson Wentz is going to be ready to go come week one. You had a similar situation with Carson Palmer, just five to 6 years ago. When he got injured in the playoff game against the Steelers, but turned around and was able to play come week one that following season. So, given the time frame from then to now, he should be ready to go.
Brad?
Yeah, I don't see him moving away from Wentz as long as he's healthy. If he's banged up or he's injured, Foles will be under center. Like Brandon said, if they go out and move Foles, then that he's going to come back week one, be ready to go for Wentz. So I'm going to go Wentz.
So I guess we're not betting money because we're all saying Wentz. NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport reports Broncos quarterback Trevor Siemian is expected. Oh, I'm sorry. Trevor Siemian. Ooh, I keep saying it wrong. Anyway, Broncos are going to put him on a trading block. Surprised at this, Brad?
No, but who the hell's gonna want him? That was a freaking dumpster fire over there last year. Nobody wants those quarterbacks.
Nope. And what do they have? The fourth pick or the 11th?
They have the fifth pick, I think.
Well, they're going Baker Mayfield.
So let's not
or Sam Rosen.
Josh Rosen. You can't put two guys together and make one.
Hey, I was going to win either way. Sam Mayfield.
I would not actually say that they are the fifth pick the Broncos are right now. Yeah. I would not.
Dude, they have to go quarterback. They have
not necessarily.
If they have a quarterback with the team they have right now, a yes or no, with the team they have right now, with a Kirk Cousins type quarterback, you're trying to tell me this team isn't a deep playoff run threat?
They with a signing of Kirk Cousins and the pieces that they still have on the defensive side of the ball and the offensive side of the ball, that division, they could be able to turn it around and be right back in the hunt next year. I mean, let's be honest, this team is still kind of, with the older pieces on defense, they're still in a win now type mode. They're going to look to continue to compete. John Elway's not going to want to go into a rebuilding mode and bring in a fresh rookie quarterback when he can go out and sign a Kirk Cousins type. I would expect them to be major players for Kirk Cousins.
Well, even with the guys that are out there now, even if it's not Cousins, the damn veterans that are – there's a lot of veterans out there, and those guys are better than what they have on the roster now. I mean, I see them signing a veteran quarterback. It may not be Cousins, but it's going to be somebody.
They're going to draft a quarterback, and I'm willing to put money on that.
I think
you don't need nobody. You have a good offensive line. You have a decent running back. You have a really good defense. I believe they were top 13, top 15 in everything. Well, what's the only thing keeping the Broncos down? Oh, that's why they're picking number 5, because they don't have a quarterback.
Yeah, but why are you – they've drafted 2 over the past couple years, and that's why they're in the situation they're in.
Who thought Trevor Siemian was going to be – any type of quarterback.
And what about Paxton Lynch? Everybody was high on
Lynch. No. You trying to tell me the quarterback class that they – I think Rudolph from Oklahoma State is going to be the breakout quarterback of this draft. That's my opinion. But you're trying to tell me with this quarterback class, Denver's going to pass on these guys when they don't need – they're not in desperate need of any other position?
But like you said, they're in a win now. If they get a rookie quarterback, that's a learning curve. If you go out there and sign a Case Keenum type of guy, you're ready to roll right then. You're starting to compete off the bat.
Just bring Tebow back.
What I'm going to say, though, is the fact that you're going to have free agency kick off March 14th. You've got well over a month to figure out, are we going to miss on Kirk Cousins? And if we miss on Kirk Cousins, are we going to go after a Case Keenum type? We're going to try to make a play for an AJ McCarron type, anything like that. And if they decide to pass on those types of quarterbacks, then yes, they will spend that high pick in the first round of the draft for a quarterback. But if they sign Kirk Cousins, and if Saquon Barkley falls to them at 5, watch out for Saquon Barkley at the 5th pick in the draft.
He's not dropping to them.
He could.
He's not.
You do not know.
I do know that. Mel
you
Kiper,
don't know
Mel
that
Kiper
yet.
Third. I do know that.
Well, let's talk here. How accurate is Mel Kiper each year?
Oh, I'm not none. I'm not giving him any credit. But you want to put a side bet? I bet you he doesn't get to Denver at 5.
Well, I wouldn't think that he's going to fall to 5. I'm just playing on the what ifs.
I have it right here. Just tell me and I'll write it next to this star.
Oh, no, I'm telling you flat out, I don't think he falls to 5.
Okay. Adam Vinatieri, I'm sorry, did you want to keep talking about the Broncos?
No, I was just curious on, if you're going to go that route and you're going to say that, who are go over the top couple picks so we kind of know, who could pass up on Barkley. Well, I mean, if he gets go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, if he gets past Indianapolis, I think he falls.
What we're going to do, and I just had an idea, is the show before the draft, we're going to put together our top 10, who we think is going to get drafted to what team. And then we're going to come up with some kind of prize for the winner and some kind of horrible loss for the loser. Who has the most picks? Are y'all down for that?
I mean, you know, I was down for the Rick wearing a dress to the draft if I beat him in picks, but
let me hit pause. Hold on. All right, I lost my notebook. Let me hit start. Okay, and we're back.
Hey, so what's going to have to happen is the loser, the next interview we do, has to get all the awkward questions. The other two guys has to write the questions for them.
That's it. The loser has to ask the two questions the other two guys write for him. That's a good. Yeah.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Would you sing the national anthem for us right now?
Do you wear boxers or briefs? And if so, would you tweet us a picture of them?
Oh, my God.
Of the ones you're wearing, not in your drawer. That's my question for you guys. I'm just letting you know. Where is it? I just had it.
Vinatieri.
Vinatieri and Colts closing in on a new one-year contract. You think this is his last year, Brad?
Shit, as long as the guy continues to kick, I think he stays.
Well, yeah. you could say the same thing about Janikowski, but the Raiders recently let him go.
Yeah, but you have to remember, Gruden wasn't a big fan of his when he was there years ago as well. I think Gruden was licking his chops to be able to cut his ass.
For what? The guy's got more points than any other Raider in history. Well, I don't understand.
That's because they never get in the end zone.
Exactly. So keep him around.
You can get anybody to do what he did.
Kick from the 20? Because they always
kick from the 20,
suck,
man.
In the red zone. Marty Herney named general manager of Panthers. I don't think anybody gives a
He's been the general manager of that team before, so it's kind of like a retread of the same guy.
Any other NFL talk before we go to another sport?
I did see that I saw that the Jets were going to cough up $60 million first year for Kirk Cousins.
I saw that. Is that actually something you think is going to happen?
I don't know. I'm assuming if they have the cap space, they will. But damn, that's a lot for him.
$60 million.
$60 million. You can't sign anybody else for the next 10 years.
They've got cap space to work with. You know, it's like what that report said when it came out the other day that they will overbid anyone in that market for Kirk Cousins. But I think what they're kind of failing to realize right now is if you're Kirk Cousins, do you take that job or would you take a pay cut to go to a Denver or to go to, you know, say like Minnesota if Minnesota doesn't retain Case Keenum?
You don't go to the Jets. And
you're not going to go to the Jets. They have no receiver roster right now.
Like Colin Cowherd said, and I hate to quote him, but he made a good point. They have no stability. You know, if Denver offers you, you go to Denver. Just like you go to Elway, you go to a team that with your services could make a deep playoff run. Minnesota, Denver.
But they've never had stability because they've never had a quarterback. He could be
that
guy.
They had Brett Favre. And look what they did with Favre. Don't tell me Favre was good. Favre took Minnesota to the NFC playoffs the year before.
Yeah, because he was 84 years old when he went out there and was playing for the Jets.
I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear. He was 82 when he took Minnesota to the NFC title game and lost by a field goal.
So let's first of all, Favre was too busy sending pictures of his junk to reporters than focusing on the playbook and his play on the field. So I don't think Favre had a game decisions in his mind at that point in time playing for the Jets.
No, I have a little love for the Jets. I don't think it's as bad as people think. I mean, hell, he didn't have no damn receivers in Washington either, and he was still putting up halfway decent numbers. You know,
Washington over New York.
Jackson and Pierre Garçon did make quite the tandem, unless, you know, Jordan Reed is when on the field is
exactly.
He's definitely a top five tight end, so he had weapons to work with.
Yeah, but you think about what Robbie Anderson did and Curley did with the guy that was throwing him the ball there. What happens if they actually had somebody that can get it to him?
Well, I mean, obviously Robbie Anderson's probably a big question mark right now. Might not be on the field for most of 2018. So
but if you sign Cousins, you can now go after one of those big time wide receivers early.
Not at $60 million.
Nah.
I don't care how much cap space you have.
No, I'm not talking about. I'm talking about drafting a wide receiver. Right. You're able to draft one.
Okay.
I don't think there's. I mean, they're obviously not. You're not going to be looking at receiver that early in the first round. So, the receivers in this draft class, in general, are not really the greatest to write home about. So you're looking at a lot of those second to fourth round type guys that are going to be your receivers this year in that draft class.
Before we move on, what would you do? If you're Denver, do you sign Kirk Cousins? Do you sign a Case Keenum? and then you try your best to get Saquon Barkley, and then at this point you're in a win now mode?
I mean, if I'm in that position, if I'm John Elway, I'm going after Kirk Cousins and hoping to solidify that running back spot with Saquon Barkley. There's going to be other running backs that you can use to utilize that position for, and then you can just go at five. You can go best player available, or if there's one of these other teams a little bit further down the line that are really hot for these young quarterbacks and want to move up, then, you know, of course, you're going to mortgage the picks to move down and try to pull off a deal similar to what the San Francisco 49ers did last year with the Trubisky trade. Bears move up one spot and then they basically gave away the farm for a guy who still, 1 year later, we don't know if he can play in this league. So, if I'm the Broncos, I'm going to go after a proven veteran quarterback that's played in this league and has seen success, other than a wild card that you don't know what you're getting until you get him out there in game situations. I mean, are you ready to take that chance and elongate what could be a rebuild coming up soon? Or do you want to go ahead and kind of streamline that and make your rebuild a little bit quicker as you build around the pieces you already have in place?
Yeah, I agree with you, Brandon, because, I mean, they're the quarterback away from making another deep run. I mean,
Super Bowl.
They don't have enough. I mean, you got to think Demaryius Thomas is getting up there in age. Emmanuel Sanders is up there. C.J. Anderson. I mean, their defensive guys are getting up there. They only have a couple years left before you enter that rebuilding stage. And I think they got to take advantage of a veteran quarterback that gives them the shot to do that.
And you're already going to be franchise tagging Demaryius Thomas. He and Sanders both are free agents. And they've already, I think the front office has already came out and said that they're going to put the tag on Sanders or on Thomas. Let Sanders walk. So you're kind of back in the market for a number two receiver at this point in time. So that's where you're going to be leaning, in this draft. Is there going to be a guy there that you think can supplant like a Cody Latimer type guy and a Benny Fowler type guy that you've got on your roster right now? I think that's what they're going to be looking to do.
Jarvis Landry's already been tagged from Miami.
Well, they put the quick tag on him. So there's a chance that that quick tag gives them the ability to be able to possibly maneuver him in a deal. That's not to per se say that he's going to definitely be on that roster next year. I think it gives them a little bit more leverage to perhaps work a deal and get something done.
Brad, Le'Veon Bell, is he going to get tagged again? Or are they going to sign this guy to a long term? On top of that, question B, if they tag him, is this Le'Veon Bell's last year in Pittsburgh? Because he was not happy about that last year.
He was not, but he still can't go anywhere. Is he going to sit out this year?
No, but if he plays again this year, do you think, you're Le'Veon Bell. You want a long-term deal. You want to know that you're going to be somewhere for 5-6 years. This team tags you. I'm pissed. I'm not showing up till training camp. You show up. They tag you again. You're the guy on this franchise. You're pissed off. Is this your last year? If Pittsburgh doesn't bring the money?
Yeah, I would be in that situation. I'm just going to be like, you know what? I've given you 2-3 years to make this deal happen, and you haven't. I'm looking elsewhere. Like, even if I'm just that type of asshole, even if another team brought me less money than Pittsburgh, I would do it just because, you know what? You had the opportunity to do the right thing and didn't.
Brandon, Jacksonville, Allen Robinson, you think he's the guy they're going to tag?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to tag him. He's a guy that I wish would hit the open market, because I think that with the pieces that they developed in that receiving core late in the year with D.D. Westbrook and Keelan Cole, I think Allen Robinson is a guy that needs to go somewhere else. And healthy, in the right spot, in the right offense somewhere, he'll be able to shine. I know if he were to hit the open market, I know Chicago was really talking early about this guy. I mean, for me, say Dallas decides we are going to cut Dez Bryant, which there's plenty of rumors out there suggesting that we will because of his cap number. Allen Robinson's a guy I think we can bring in there, and he fits in nicely into that offense.
Yeah, from a fantasy standpoint, I want to see him hit the market, but I want to see him go somewhere with a quarterback that can throw the ball.
Yep.
So I'm going down the line here. Brad, Minnesota, Case Keenum, if they tag this guy, they're going to have him for $23 million for next year. He's not even guaranteed to be the starter. But if they tag Case Keenum, then they're going to have first off, they have 57 in cap space. So they're going to have Bridgewater, they're going to have Bradford and Keenum, and they're going to be paying Keenum $23 million, possibly to ride the bench if Sam Bradford comes back and does what he did in week one against New Orleans.
No, I think they're all free agents. Are they not, Brandon?
Yeah, all three are going to be free agents. So two of them likely are going to walk, and they're going to franchise tag or long-term deal one of those three guys. And obviously, the front office likes Teddy Bridgewater, but I think it's hard to ignore what Case Keenum did with that offense this past year. But the only downside to that, too, is how much of that was Pat Shurmur, who's now the head coach for the Giants. If you retain a guy like a Case Keenum, but now your offensive coordinator that coddled him for the entire year is gone, are you taking a risk that this guy's going to revert back to the Jeff Fisher Case Keenum? Or is he going to be the new and improved Case Keenum that we saw this year? That's going to be a big question for them.
Well, guys, I'm getting into football already, and the season hasn't even officially started. But
talk football every day.
That's it. So I'm looking at the calendar, and I want to do this early. It's going to be called early, super early mock draft. And we need to get at least 10 guys. Skype can hold 23. So our goal for the next couple weeks is to set a date and get 10 guys to agree to it, and we need to do a super early mock draft.
Woo!
And I want my goal is to get it done by March 16th.
Now, you want to do like an entire mock draft?
10 rounds.
You want to kind of do, say, like 10 rounds?
10 rounds. 10 guys, 10 rounds.
10 so 100
picks.
Probably best.
100 picks.
Yeah, that puts you at what, about three rounds?
No, 10 rounds.
Yeah, 10 rounds, 10 guys.
Yeah, but there's 32 teams, so.
No, not
the NFL draft.
Fantasy
draft.
Okay, gotcha.
An early, super early fantasy. Give it here, baby. My wife claimed I broke her thumb when I popped her thumb.
That's what she said.
Well, I hope Natrell's mom's not listening, because if McCack wasn't so big, you wouldn't have broke your thumb.
Oh! I think it's the other way around. If it wasn't so small, she wouldn't have needed to use her thumb.
I was going to say, if it wasn't so small, if it wasn't so small, she wouldn't have had to squeeze so hard.
Oh, and we just totally put the E on the show for this season. It is no longer
family-friendly. Hey, we could have been talking about, like, balloon animals. Who knows what we were talking about? We didn't reference anything.
So early, super early fantasy mock draft. Let's get it done by March 16th. Everybody needs to get two guys. And then everybody get two guys, including yourself. That's nine. I'll find a wild card.
Give me two guys. I don't freaking know anybody.
You know,
I was going to say, I can cover
Brad,
probably
your two
most
guys
of this
could
draft.
Be Landon and Frank. Brandon, I know you could find two guys, and then I'll find
two easily.
Guys. So
I might holler at Connor, see if Connor D, he's the brains behind that operation.
He is. So that's on tap. Also, again, hopefully, let's see, the draft's in April, so when the draft starts, we'll have a show where we'll give our first 10 picks. I wanted to redo a fantasy football movie draft because the first one was the Drizzling Shits. And then not soon after that, guys, I want to say you have a camp coming up, so May or June, we're going to have to start previewing the divisions team by team. So I think we got a lot going on tap to get us to kickoff.
I had a very successful year last year picking them, if I'm not mistaken, because one guy was one game away from having the Saints in the NFC Championship game.
And we have our predictions. We have our bold predictions. And it's going to be fun. So that's why I have this orange notebook, 2018 football season plans, and I will not lose it. And I will use Excel for the picks. Because I am not going to lose this year. Rick's big, bitch.
I'm buying me my own notebook because I don't trust you.
So, that's it.
I do not need a notebook because, obviously, my prowess at picking games is pretty stout.
There's no proof behind that. There is no proof that says that you were the best. Ricky has destroyed that evidence. You can
Now, I can say with certainty you were leading for a couple weeks, but that doesn't mean you kept the lead through week 16.
I'm fairly certain if I go back and look at my picks, yes, I was winning.
I'm fairly certain that I'm going to play some Eagles. No, I'm not. I'm trying to find an out song.
Fly, Eagles, fly.
Nope. Nope, don't like that.
I don't know what this is, but I'm going to play it. What is this?
Hey, remember I sent you the link?
Jay-Z.
Wait a second. No, remember I sent y'all both that YouTube link for the song from The Office?
You know what?
That second.
Yes, let me play that. Hold on. No, I can't play that. I'm not on my phone. What's it called? What was the name of it?
I can't remember. It's Hold just on. The Hunter.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put Hunter, The Office.
Took me by the hand.
Yeah.
Made me a man.
Here we go. Let me play. This is going to be the outro. We have a minute 37. All right, guys, this is the 2MB Sports and Fantasy Podcast.
Took me by the hand.
Yeah.
Brandon, tell them they can find you on Twitter.
At Roto Superstar on the Twitter. Of course, every week I plug myself on RotoExpert.com. Working on a coaching changes article right now. Be on the lookout for that over the next couple of days. Kind of giving some insight on these coaching changes, the impact it will have on fantasy next year.
Brad?
B to sell. Very simple. Let me see where I'm at my followers. I got to update everybody. 57.
Also, be on the lookout for Brad at your local gymnasium anytime there is a hot, rousing matchup of young kids wrestling on the ground.
And we mean that in the most professional way possible.
Yes, don't make it sound like I'm moving my online profile to two kids, kid lover, so everybody knows my intentions.
That's right.
All right, guys, the 2MB Sports and Fantasy Podcast. Find the show at 2ManBandPodcast. Thank you to 12 Ounce Sports, The Chair Shot Radio, our sponsor FanDuel, and Natrell Jamerson. Thank you for coming on. He was great. Enjoyed the interview. We will have future interviews with future NFL prospects coming up in the next couple of weeks. So, again, guys, Brad, Brandon, thank you all, and I hope you have a good evening.
Thanks, sir.
See you.